Hello and welcome back to the Blissless Ignorance Podcast with your host Anthony and
Leanne.
We are part of the Grand Shucka Network of Podcasts, so be sure to check out our main site, www.thegrandshucka.com, where you can find our written reviews on movies, TV shows, video games, anime, comics, and books. You can find our main podcast, which is the Grand Shucka Podcast, there as well. That we're all on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic, so be sure to check us out there. So we're going to get into, this will be part two of our news coverage this week. So we're just reviewing. So this is there's nothing blissful about being ignorant. So what we do here, we're just going to go to some of the local and national news stories, stuff's going on in the world, stuff I see on Facebook, Twitter, and just stuff going on. So Leanne, are you ready to jump back into it?
Sure.
All right. So we left off talking about, just before we left off, a little bit after that.
White aggression.
White female aggression. So it was about, there's been, it started with the press conference with Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her comment to April Ryan. And it was like, well, there was the comment with Sean Spicer and April Ryan about him, her shaking her head at him when he was talking. He was like, don't do that. Don't shake your head at me. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. And then also there was the comment that Trump made to April Ryan when she asked him a question that he wasn't too fond of. He was like, you know, well, you called the Black Congressional Black Caucus. Are they friends of yours?
Yeah.
And so on Twitter, Leslie Mack from Interracial John, she's also a social activist, a safety pin box. She had a hashtag going called White Female Aggression. Mm-hmm. And so people were saying, you know, hey, fellow ladies, have a read through the, you know, oh, wait, hold on. I don't know where the main one was, but it was like, if you, you know, tell a story where you've encountered white female aggression, right?
Right.
And so, hold on. Let me see if I can find a good couple tweets here, just like some people's examples. Oh, yeah, I just saw one. That was good. It was, here we go. Coworker, do your children have the same father? Me, yes. We're married for 7 years. We were they were teachers. It's like, you know, that how they assume that, you know, they assume Black women have kids, you know? Like, I remember seeing something like, you know, that if you're white, they say, oh, are you married? Do you have any kids? If you're Black, they say, oh, how many kids do you have? They just automatically, you know, is there father in their life? That's, you know, I mean, obviously I'm a Black man. None of that stuff's happened to me. But Leanne, have you encountered any of that kind of thing? Any of those kind of things?
Not that I can actively remember right now, but that's mostly because most of the white people, white females that I interact with are my family members. So it's not like, you know,
okay.
It's not quite the same. And, yeah, there's not a lot of white people to really interact with in, you know, I mean, most of the teachers at the school are Black.
You know, people are saying that white female aggression.
The white female teachers at the school are kind of cliquish, though. I'm just gonna say they hang out together.
They have a secret white meetings.
Even across curriculums. Like I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, I see that this Spanish teacher is hanging out with this science teacher. They don't have, like, all right. No, that doesn't typically happen.
They having secret white meetings, yo. So let's just move on to the next thing. We'll get to the rest of our list here. So the Justice Department is taking on affirmative action.
Oh yeah, I heard.
What are your thoughts on this?
Leave it alone.
A lot of people have been saying how, like, you know, the number one person who benefits from affirmative action is white women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, but that, you know, white people, racist white people will cut off their foot
cut off their nose to spite their face is the
Yes, but it's like, but you know, the face is like, if Black people, you know, like, they'll harm themselves if they think it's really going to harm Black people at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, voting for Trump, like, you know, the Pussy Hat March, the Women's March on Washington, it's like all of them, you know, showing up in numbers, but 56% of white women voted for Trump.
Yep.
So You know what I mean? So it's like...
But at the same time, there's a lot of white women in this area.
Yeah, so...
This area is Democratic, so...
At the same time, right?
I'm Democratic, yeah.
Liberal, you know.
Liberal, yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, when people are shot in D.C. and Baltimore and the Black Lives Matter protests and marches happen, all those white people don't show up.
No.
So...
It doesn't affect them.
It doesn't affect them. Yeah. It's like, well, that wouldn't happen to me. Obviously, that kid was doing something wrong or whatever they told themselves.
I've never had a bad experience with the police.
Yeah. And so people were
saying... I personally haven't, other than them giving me tickets with, you know, of course, you kind of resent them for that. Yeah. But...
So people are like, you know, likening this to the same way, like how they're saying the Voting Rights Act isn't needed anymore because, well, look, everybody gets a chance to vote. We don't need this anymore.
Yeah, but as soon as it's gone, they would take advantage. Yeah,
and it's like they're saying it's like a measles vaccine. Get the well, we don't need a measles vaccine. Nobody gets measles anymore. It's like, yeah, because we're all getting the vaccine. As soon as you take that vaccine away.
Measles everywhere.
Measles, and this literally happens in the news. Like there's some, you know, some city or town or whatever in the middle of nowhere gets in their head that, well, this causes autism, and we're not gonna do the vaccines, and this and that. And then next thing you know, a kid has polio out of nowhere because you didn't get your kid vaccinated. You know, like you know that the fix is working so well, it fixes the problem, which you know it remedies the problem, but then you. To the point where you think there's no problem anymore, so let's get rid of the fix. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's not how it works, you know?
It was like, after we built this dam, we haven't had flooding in like 50 years.
Yeah.
Why don't we just take down the dam and see what happens?
Let's see what happens. Talking about taking affirmative action because that's not really needed because black people get admitted to colleges. We don't need affirmative action. Like, look, they're in colleges. It's like, yeah, they're in because of affirmative action. You know?
And that I feel like that saying that black people are in college because of affirmative action is
well, not
partially not giving black people enough credit.
You're right. But, you know, but they were saying that there are more articles about this saying that really the and instead of being worried about affirmative action, you need to be worried about like legacy admissions and
those are terrible. Legacy anything is
and like the people who like horrible. Who parents just donate a bunch of money and that's how they get in. I'm looking at you, Jared Kushner, how he got into Harvard because his scores weren't good, but his parents knew the right people.
Kushner,
whatever.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't like the guy.
But like you know, like really, really, you should look at those people because they don't have. They don't even have the merits.
They don't have what it takes.
To get in, yeah, but they pay enough money.
Everybody that gets in on affirmative action are qualified.
Yeah, they're qualified.
You don't take unqualified people in affirmative action. You just take qualified people that would not get the opportunity if you were only giving it to white people, which is default because that's what they do.
And then there was another article about out in California in the UC system, the University of California, like in UCLA, UC Santa Barbara, it's Berkeley, Santa Barbara, all those schools out there, mm-hmm. how they were doing merit-based, you know, mm-hmm. Admissions in which it's the numbers started to change where they were getting more Asian people in.
Right.
And so the mostly white numbers were going down. So they changed it to keep, you know, to keep more white people in. It's like, so.
Right. The affirmative action.
Yeah. It's like, come. It's crazy.
It's because, you know, how everybody teaches, you know, oh, you know, it's a white man's world. So you got to do more, you got to work twice as hard, you got to be better, and kids are taking that to heart and they are working harder and they are being better,
you know,
and it's showing, and unfortunately they can't handle it.
I mean, it's literally why, like, what is, I think it's just, I don't know the statistic, but it's like that black women are the most
educated,
yeah, because mm-hmm. they graduate with their degrees on time all the goddamn time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, cause, you know, when you're told all the time, you got to be twice as good to get half as much, or, you know, all that, what you mm-hmm. just said, you know,
Like and if black, you, black women have to try harder than black men because
they're fighting.
They've got two stigmas on them.
Yeah. You know, that intersectionality, you know. So, and then like we look in like when it comes to sports, how if there's a sport that black people are into, we dominate that sport.
Oh, and you know what's funny? I bet my mom would never admit it now. She'd just say something entirely different. But my mom knew that we would have a benefit from being listed in school as white. I didn't even know until I applied to Morgan. My mom was like, what did you put on the application for your race? And I was like, black. Why? And she was like, well, I put you in as white in the school system because I knew that you'd have a better chance of getting into the magnet programs. And it's true. Anytime any of us applied for the magnet program, we got straight in.
And she was like, using racism in your favor.
Well, what she said, it wasn't because, you know, it wasn't, oh, they'll take the white people more. It's just that there aren't as many white people. So, in order to fill, make it kind of more even, they're going to take a white person.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And then your white mom shows up to the like PTA meetings and back to school nights. It's like, oh, yeah, this is my white mom. Hello. So, interesting. The NAACP has issued its first statewide travel advisory for Missouri. Saying, black people, you're on notice. Go there on your own risk. But they saw the it happened Missouri.
Yeah, that state just sounds like misery, and I have never heard of a reason to go there.
What's
in Missouri?
Ferguson.
Okay, yeah, that's what's a thing that would draw people to Missouri?
Oh, I have no idea. They said the warning cites several discriminatory incidents in Missouri. Included as examples of a looming danger in the state. It said it's the first travel advisory ever issued by the organization at the state or national level. Let's see. Why now? It says this is after Senate Bill 41, which makes it more difficult 43, rather, which makes it more difficult for employees to prove their protected class, like race or gender, directly led to unlawful discrimination. Passed through the Missouri legislature in June, Missouri Governor Eric Greitens. He signed it into law soon after.
Or maybe Greitens.
Greitens and other supporters of the bill have said it puts Missouri standards for lawsuits in line with other states, but that's not how the NAACP sees it. They say it's a Jim Crow bill. There have been other instances of discrimination in the state that could have elicited an advisory before this, several of which are listed in the warning. Among them are racist incidents reported at the University of Missouri that prompted protests across the campus in 2015, as well as the state attorney general's annual report that found that black drivers were stopped by police at a rate 75% higher than white drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So, yeah, it says that it doesn't tell people not to go to Missouri. Rather, the NAACP wants minority travelers to be aware of what it says are potential risks.
Yep. It's like when you went to Colorado and you were like, I'm not sure about this.
Yo, I was legit scared to go to Colorado. I never heard of Loveland. I'm like, where the hell is that? Like, it's an hour north of, like, Boulder. Like, an hour and a half north of, Denver. Yeah, I was terrified. I'm like, man, it's going to be nothing but white people out there. And I am anxious when I'm around too many white people. I am 6'4", 280-something pounds. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to be around these. Don't like it. Don't like it. So,
Well, I think it's pretty safe to say that even without the travel advisory, I'd probably never go to Missouri.
Yeah. Like even now, if you have to, like, travel to, like, drive somewhere, like, hey, don't drive through Missouri.
If I ever do have to go, it'd probably be like on a book tour. If I ever do like publish the book and get all super famous and have to do a book tour,
then
I'm super famous, so I have
drivers and security.
I have the plot shield for famous people.
Not necessarily, because there's some famous people still get fucked with.
Yes, but usually not to death.
Usually not to death. You're right. All right, next here. Came out that Donald Trump made up 2 phone calls in 1 week.
He makes up everything.
He just lies.
He made up his name.
He just lies.
He made up his name.
Oh, his last name isn't Trump? Is Drumpf?
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, what do you... Or I guess his family made it up.
He popularized the phrase, many people are saying, has developed a new way to concoct... The man who popularized the term, many people are saying, has developed a new way to concoct support for his dubious claims. So, he said that the Mexican president, Enrique Peña Nieto, called him to praise his work to curb illegal immigration. Yeah, that did not happen. Straight up. The call never happened. The Mexican Foreign Ministry released a statement saying that Nieto has not recently spoken to President Donald Trump. What did you say?
Nieto.
Okay. He ain't called him. That just straight up did not happen. He also said that the scout leaders, after the scout jamboree thing, that they called him afterward to say that it was such a great, a great time. And that they said it was the best. Hold on, let me get the quote.
It was the greatest speech that was ever made to them, and they were very thankful.
Yeah, that did not happen.
Yeah. I heard about these. Yeah, I do.
It's like how, what is it going to take?
Like, why does he think that nobody else has a voice? Like, you know, I just say it and it becomes real. Like, I can say, oh yeah, Anthony told me that he really likes butterflies. And Anthony could easily tell you he hates butterflies. He's terrified of them. But, you know, just because I say it doesn't make it true. And who told him that that was okay? That was a possibility. Like, if you say it, there's no way they can refute it.
Yeah, nobody has Google. True? Nobody has Google, and nobody can go talk to the person you said you talked to. So tell whatever lie you want to. No, nigga.
I tell you what I told you before. He's old. He's rich. He's white. And he's male. So, of course, he feels like his word is the truth.
Next in Trump's an idiot, he says he was surprised at how large some Asian countries are.
Yeah, that's literally idiotic.
Like, and you know his thing where
have you never heard of China?
When he learns something new, he goes, yeah, you know, and like he presents like, it like,
you know, you'd be surprised to know, or
like, no,
but most people don't know this, but China, that's a pretty big place. No, most people who have seen a map know that.
So this was the, I'm going to try not to lose my mind. This is the question. This is him talking to the Wall Street Journal. The question was, what do you think is a reasonable corporate rate? We've heard 20%, but.
And he cuts them off.
Well, you know, we're going for 15. We're going to see. And we'll see. But, you know, I don't want to say anything about negotiation. I mean, we're asking for 15%, and I think we're going to grow tremendously. So I deal with foreign countries, and despite what you may read, I have had unbelievable relationships with all the foreign leaders. They like me. I like them. You know, it's amazing. So I'll call, like, major countries, and I'll be dealing with the prime minister or the president, and I'll say, how are you doing? Oh, don't know. Not well, Mr. President. Not well. I said, well, what's the problem? Oh, GDP 9%. Not well. And I'm saying to myself, here we are at 1%, dying. And they're at 9%, and they're unhappy. So, you know, and these are like countries, you know, fairly large, like 300 million people. You know, a lot of people say, they say, well, but the United States is large. And then you have places, then you call places like Malaysia, Indonesia, and you say, you know, how many people do you have? And it's pretty amazing how many people they have. So China's going to be at 7 or 8%, and they will have 1.5 billion, right? So we should do really well. But in order to do that, you know, it's tax reform. It's a big tax cut. And it's simplification. It's reform. And it's a big tax cut. 15.
I hate him.
Again, the question was, what do you think is a reasonable corporate rate?
I would give that an F. That answer is an F.
So, yeah. Yeah, he's an idiot. He was surprised to know how big Indonesia and Malaysia are. He's like somebody just told, like, wait, what? Like, he's learning new facts every day. He's an old dog, like, trying to learn new stuff.
I feel like they give him fact sheets when he speaks to the president or the people. Prime minister or yeah. whoever of the countries, and he's just like ignores it, and then he's like, "How many people do you have?" Like, look down at your fact sheet, Mr. President.
And like, he looks down, and rather than it say like 300 million, they have to like draw little circles, like a draw. This is 1 million, 2 million. How many circles are on your placemat, Mr. Trump? Like, because he's an idiot. You have to, like, he literally wants charts and pictures and graphs. He doesn't want, like, written in his briefings. He doesn't want, like, written, like, just paragraphs.
Like, I can tell. He does not make logical sense.
Like, I remember, like, they were talking about how, like, Obama wanted briefs. He wanted, like you know, damn near an essay. All the detail you can give him, he wanted it. And he absorbed it like a sponge.
Well, he was a journalism major.
He was a constitutional professor. He's so... I wish we had that. Like... George W. Bush, he liked people to talk to him. Like, when he had his briefings, he had his briefing sheet, but he said, hey, talk me through this. Tell me what's going on.
Which is fine. He's an auditory learner.
Yeah.
And apparently Trump is a...
second grader.
No, there are different learning types, like, but now, mind you, asking for graphs and pictures is something entirely different than having them. Then they have to put his name in,
yeah,
repeatedly just to get his attention back.
Yeah,
that's something totally different.
He's a second grader with a fidget spinner in class, and you got to keep saying his name to get his. Hey, over here, Trump. You got like Jack and Jill went up to Trump and just fetch a pail of Trump. You got to get his. And Donald did, you gotta like insert his name into the characters in the story. And then Donald fought Voldemort. And it turned out that Voldemort was Donald. Yeah, you gotta just throw his name in all the time. Next here. This family of a 12-year-old girl who committed suicide is suing their school district. So it's, you know, when a kid commits suicide, it's like super tragic and terrible. So what happened? The kid was being bullied. The parents told the school, they told the other parents, and they just laughed at us saying it's a big joke. The other parents did. So Diane Grossman is the mother, claiming the administrators in New Jersey were negligent and failed to prevent the abuse of her daughter, Mallory, which she believes ultimately led to her daughter's death. Her pleas with the alleged bullies.
One of the alleged bullies' parents.
One of the, oh, so it was, yeah, probably was a group of kids.
A big joke and dismissed.
Yeah. I can confidently say I spoke to one of the parents the night before Mallory, before this. I can tell you that the mother dismissed it, said it was just a big joke, and that I really shouldn't worry about it. So Mallory's parents are now suing the Rockaway Township School District and are considering legal action against the parents of the students they feel are responsible.
Do it.
Ms. Grossman said that Mallory had been bullied for months. And she had shown social media posts and text that had been sent to her to school officials.
Do it.
She talked about how horrible it was to be at school. It would be dirty looks, harassment, and name calling. The cold shoulder, the exclusion, I think played an important role. The family's attorney described the cyberbullying as epidemic.
Cyberbullying is really bad. Like it is an epidemic, and it mostly because the kids don't really realize what bullying is. Because when we read about bullying and the student code of conduct, they like laugh it off, and they're like, "Nobody gets bullied around here." And I'm like, "Are you freaking nuts? Like, you literally came in the class, pointed at a kid's shoes, and laughed at them.
What are those?
Like, that's bullying. That's yeah. Textbook bullying. Textbook bullying. I was just like, and oh my God, the dropping of nudes is so bad. Like, they will literally airdrop a bunch of nudes, like, super frequently. And I gotta tell my kids, look, turn off your airdrop, because if you are in possession of those nudes, most people in this school are under the age of 18, which means that you are in possession of child pornography, which makes you a sex offender. Just don't participate in this. Don't take naked pictures of yourself. Don't send naked pictures of yourself.
You are all underage.
And don't share somebody else's naked
pictures. You are all underage.
Like, if somebody sends you naked pictures, you tell. Like, and they were like, oh, I ain't no snitch, Miss Williams. Snitch. Snitch, snitch, snitch. Snitch, 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 snitch. Because you know what? You don't want to be the one left holding the bag.
Yeah.
That child pornography bag.
Like, I think,
leave
like,
it alone.
Parents, teachers, not necessarily yourself, but people need to have, like, a updated conversation with kids. Like, you know, because kids don't, like, they think bullying is, oh, give me your lunch money, hold you upside down and dunk your head in a toilet and flush it. It's like, no, maybe that might have been bullying, like, you know, back in the, what, 40s, 50s, or whatever. But like bullying now is the what are those and
or trading your fidget spinner for somebody else's fidget spinner when it's clearly nicer than yours, but you use social intimidation to get them to trade with you even though they don't really want to.
Is that a thing?
That happened to Michaela.
Sheesh.
With the little girl that lives behind us. I was like, why did you trade? I don't know. She wanted to. Little child, like, your fidget spinner was nicer than hers. Why would you trade that away for some dinky little, barely held together with paper clips and glue fidget spinner? Like,
Like, and then even still, I think people need to have an updated conversation with kids about what rape is. Because some people just, oh, rape is jump out the bushes, knock you over the head, you know. That's like, that's. No.
Oh, every opportunity I get, I educate the kids. It's funny. one of my students told me, he's like, Miss Williams, every day I learn something I don't want to learn in your class. Like, he was like, I come in here and you're telling me all these things and none of them are good. Like, I always leave and I'm always thinking, man, that sucks. And I was like, so I don't teach you anything good? He was like, well, you do, but it's always like, I always leave questioning myself. I'm like, well, maybe you should question yourself. Like, oh, like this kid, he was like, he thought maybe there was a possibility, like his girlfriend might be pregnant. And right. So I was like, well, you know, that's a possibility. And he's like, nah, it's not a possibility. I pulled out and I was like, well, you know what they call people who pull out, right?
Parents.
Where I was going to hit him with the joke. And he was like, please don't answer that. He was like, please. He was like, do not give me another another lesson right now that is going to ruin my day.
You turn around to your board. You pull down like a projector sheet, whatever, and it has like a diagram. So you need to know that pre-cum has semen in it, and you can get pregnant from pre-cum. Wear a condom every time.
When I told him that you can get somebody pregnant without having sex with them at all, he was it blew his mind. Like, I was like, if you don't even
holding hands,
if you don't even penetrate, like, I was like, they're called swimmers for a reason, right? Yeah,
if you hold her hand too tight, she will get pregnant. So you need to watch it.
But I have those conversations with them. Oh my gosh. A conversation about HPV will like set the whole room like terrified.
Turn to all the boys. You all probably got HPV and you don't even know it.
Right.
And you don't even know.
And there's no way to test it. The only way you know is if you have an outbreak of warts and you go to a doctor to get it checked out. And then they'll be like, oh yeah, this is HPV.
All right now, that's lunch, you guys. Go, bye. Go to lunch.
Have a nice day.
Think about genital warts. Bye. So.
That's me. Maybe that's why this one kid that I taught called me depressing.
Yeah. Well, that's life, son.
Well, that was one of the kids. I yelled at him in class. I yelled at him because he tried to mock another kid for their shoes. Like, and I was like, you don't do that. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do that in my room. You don't get to make fun of him when you don't know his situation.
Yeah. And he made fun of him. He's like, boy, look at your old fat.
I didn't.
Your fat head, boy.
He had the nerve to ask me later if I thought he was mean.
He doesn't know mean.
I literally saw him when I went to the pool the other day, and I was like, I'm going to act like I don't see him. I'm certainly not going to say hi.
Okay. Let's move on to something else here. More Baltimore police officers accused of faking evidence. So, it's not accused. They did it.
Baltimore police officers.
Well, yeah, but you always got to use words like accused
and alleged.
And alleged.
Yeah.
You know, because they have to, it has to go through an investigation.
Let me play this and then maybe they'll wrap it up better than I could.
Have been accused of tampering with evidence for the second time in less than a month. Newly released body camera footage apparently shows officers placing drugs in a car. The alleged incident happened during an arrest in November. Jeff Begays is in Washington with more on what the cameras captured.
So yeah, this is
I'm not surprised that both of those officers are white.
Yeah, because cops ain't shit. But you know, The second time, like, their body cameras and dash cams are catching them planting evidence. And this is just now happening with body cameras. So you know it was happening before body cameras, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, there were jokes on them. You got to sprinkle a little crack on them.
Sprinkle a little crack on them. Yeah. Like, hey, what is this? What do we find right here? Oh, this is crack cocaine. Like, I don't even know what the fuck crack cocaine looks like. Like,
I do not have that luxury to say since. Another one of my former students is apparently a drug dealer and posted pictures of the crack that he sold on Instagram.
Jesus,
and this
Leanne.
Is why I don't get on Instagram.
So yeah, Baltimore police, way to be classy. I hope everyone, hope that they got to be fired and charged, right? Like, they've been referred to the police department's internal affairs division.
They've went to police jail.
Yeah, and the police, they're suspended. The two others are on administrative duty. So the police will look into this and see if the police did anything wrong. They'll let us know.
One officer is suspended, and the other two that weren't seen putting the drugs in the vehicle are on administrative duty, which just means that they're just doing paperwork.
Oh, and guess who they...
getting paid.
Guess the race of who they pulled over.
Black person.
Of course.
I know it's not Hispanic because they don't F with the,
MS-13?
Yep, they don't mess with them.
This also happened here. This is a cop and so it's
I saw the picture.
Yeah, this is a Facebook post. It's a meme with a mother, white mom pushing her little white baby's face into a tub. And it's, you know, like she's drowning her baby. Mm-hmm. And the caption says, when your daughter's first crush is a little Negro boy. An officer with the Esterwood, LA, Louisiana Police Department came under fire Monday after he shared a racist Facebook post on Facebook. After deflecting and attempting to defend the post several times, the officer reportedly decided to tender his resignation to the department Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
So they said they would not identify. KATC first reported this situation, saying they would not identify the officer in question because he had not been charged with any crime. But Twitter users found the post and shared screenshots of the page belonging to Wayne Welsh, mm-hmm. who identified himself as the assistant chief of the Esterwood Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, Wayne Welsh, I had shared racist Facebook post, and he was up, you know, holding that badge.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I want to know what he said to defend himself.
Yeah.
I posted something on Facebook that made a lot of people mad.
That was an apology he had posted. Well, I'm sorry for what happened.
I'm sorry for what happened.
Y'all
happened. You have a blessed day.
He reportedly posted about the race card and how people want to say he's a bad guy.
He's a bad guy.
So I shared someone else's post, and everyone mad at me.
Who indicates that he would rather kill his own child than have her romantically interested in a black guy.
I shared someone else's post, and everybody mad at me again. So Facebook police mad at me.
This
KATC.
Is how a police officer, an assistant chief, speaks and writes?
Yes.
Okay.
KATC reports that Welsh's page also included many posts praising Donald Trump.
Not surprised.
As well as posts disparaging Democrats, Michelle Obama, and elected women in power.
Uh-huh.
As well as posts making fun of overweight women and women who receive child support.
Mm-hmm.
Which, statistically, white people are on child support more than black people. I don't know if Mr. Welsh knows this, but,
My mom knows that either. Racist.
Yeah, he also had a post. He shared someone else's post of a group of women wearing burqas And it says someone left trash bags out in the street in front of the store again.
Oh, wait, that was him?
He shared someone's post. So he has a bunch of racist friends, and he shares their racist posts.
Yeah.
That's his go-to.
Spread the hate around.
Yeah, you know, it's all good. Just a cop, you know, assistant chief of police. Nothing to worry about there. Also here, this happened over in California. Lauren Ledford found a letter on her doorstep in Redondo Beach, California, Thursday. The letter was from a delivery man who had brought her a pizza the week before. The delivery man was upset that he did not tip her, and he threatened to rob her.
She didn't tip him.
He also made derogatory comments about Jews and wrote about male and female body parts.
Yeah. Okay. So it wasn't just like a pizza delivery place. Apparently, because if you scroll up real quick, it says she used the on-demand delivery app Postmates, which she thought included tip in the delivery fee.
Even if she didn't tip him, I mean, it don't matter, bro, if you don't get a tip or not. You can't just be like, I'm gonna rob you.
Yeah.
like, because he knows where you live, and like, Who takes the time to handwrite?
Wait, scroll down again.
What, you want to see the letter?
No. Up. Stop. I'm just kind of high, and so I need your tip money to stay toasty. That's something he wrote in this letter. Right. Okay. And then he ends it. Okay, end rant.
She posted two pages of the four-page letter to Facebook. A day after she received it. Dog, this nigga wrote a four-page letter.
Dear young lady.
Good Lord.
And it's handwritten.
Handwritten. Too. Four pages. In that amount of time, you could have been delivering more pieces, bruh. Make up that tip on another. Like, we waited tables. Sometimes you just don't get tipped. Just move, keep it moving, bruh. Keep it moving.
I mean, you can get mad about it, but, you know.
Keep it moving. All right, we got some more politics stuff. Special Counsel Mueller is using a grand jury in federal court in Washington.
Good.
This is a bigger deal. Like, 'cause at first he's putting together a grand jury in Virginia, I think it was, and now he's doing one in D.C. So they're saying that this might be him trying to get an indictment on obstruction of justice.
So, good.
Awesome. Do it. The Secret Service is leaving Trump Tower after a dispute and the lease for the command post there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is why you shouldn't be in fucking Trump Tower in the first place. Because the fucking Secret Service have to pay you to stay there to protect you.
Right.
God damn, I hate him. Oh, yeah. So this transcript came out with him with his conversation with the Mexican president. And, of course, they're mad because it's a leak. It's another leak. All these leakers, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, is this the one where he was like, hey, just stop saying you're not going to build
the wall. Yes,
yes. So that we can just. It will work out somehow. But it's not going to work out if you keep saying that you're not going to pay.
If you are going to say that Mexico is not going to pay for the wall, then I do not want to meet with you guys anymore because I cannot live with that.
So die.
Yeah. So he pretty much like, hey.
I know you're listening.
Hey.
I have no intentions of killing the president.
Stop saying you're not going to pay for the wall. Stop being mean. Just say you will pay for it, okay? We'll figure it out in the end. Huh? Come on. Come on, guys.
You're making me look bad. I don't think you're going to pay. Bad. And even if you're not going to pay, if you keep saying you're not going to pay, it makes me look bad.
I have had
Putin was a pleasant call.
I've been making these calls all day, and this is the most unpleasant call all day.
Putin was a pleasant call. I bet he's patting you on the back.
Putin was a pleasant call. He's a fucking child.
This is ridiculous. Now, that's a quote, by the way.
Yeah, these are all quotes by the fucking orange baby in chief. Oh, my God. I miss Barack.
Yep.
we could have had Hillary, and she'd have been like just way better than him.
I I was talking to Nina yesterday, and I was like, oh, guess who I saw at the pool the other day? And she goes, Barack Obama. Oh boy, I wish I'd have told everybody.
Yo,
I'd have lost my mind.
New Facebook profile photo immediately. Can I get a picture with you? Like
even with my hair all jacked up from the pool water, I don't
like,
care.
They're living in D.C. Like they're on vacation. They're going. They're all around. But if I ever see them, if I hear word that they're visiting such and such building today, I'm gonna beeline down there, show one of my badges, get into that building. But I will stand in a line.
So like, you're gonna abuse your authority?
Yes, I will. I saw Ben Carson, and I was like, "Nah." There were people lined up to see him and shake his hand.
Well, he is pretty famous, and despite his terrible the stuff that's come to light, you know, about him, like, you know, it's not like he's got girls trapped in a Chicago house.
Yeah, he's no, no R. Kelly.
But people still lining up to shake his hand. Ugh. So, I mean,
well, actually,
Ben Carson has actually saved lives.
He just had to cancel some tour dates because people, like, wouldn't come see his tours or somewhere.
And not enough people. But there were still people who bought those tickets. Yeah.
Next thing here, Rhode Island just made community college free.
Good.
We know somebody that lives. They live in Rhode Island, right?
Yep, yep.
He needs to go to school to do something, so hey, should forward this along to him. Rhode Island just became the fourth state in the nation to make community college free, following examples in New York, Oregon, and Tennessee.
And New York is making public four-year colleges...
more affordable?
No. No. Free for New York residents.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
New York State Schools.
So NYU?
I don't think NYU is actually. I know what it sounds like, like, but you could look it up. But yeah, it was.
Oh, okay. Here we go. New York State reaches a deal to provide free tuition for SUNY, State University of New York, and CUNY, City University of New York. Is that what those stand for?
I guess so.
Yeah, City University of New York and State University of New York. Okay. Yeah. For both community colleges and four-year colleges and universities for families with annual incomes up to $125,000.
Yep.
The plan will be phased in over 3 years, starting this fall with new enrollees from families with incomes up to $100,000. Nice.
Yep.
The governor's office estimates that nearly 9,400,000 families in New York State.
940,000.
I said 9,400. 940,000 mm-hmm. families in New York State will be eligible for free public college tuition when the plan is fully phased in.
The funny thing is, I know that you knew about this because you asked me, like, do they have a cap on, like, when you had to have moved to the state? Like, can I move to the state now? That's what you asked me.
Can I? Yeah, I'll move with my uncle or my brother that lives in New York, change my address.
You'd be alone there, buddy.
Huh?
You'd be alone there, buddy. I don't want to live in New York.
I only need like 2 years.
You going to move away from us for 2 years?
I'll come back on the weekends.
How will you explain this to George?
I'll come back on the weekends.
No.
Daddy's just working.
Sorry, Daddy. You're just going to have to be uneducated.
All right. So, yeah, that's all the news I gathered. I didn't really find anything really interesting that came out on the rest on Friday or Saturday. This is a quick one just to follow up. I might even try to edit these two together, maybe. I should do that. We are the Grand Shucket. This is Blissless Ignorance, our podcast. Find us at www.thegrandshucket.com. And until next time, we are out of here. Peace.
Bye-bye.